With your Amex card, entertainment benefits like special ticket access and pre-sales to select can't-miss events while supplies last, make every tap music to your ears.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
LASIK, LASIK.com.
Have a ton of questions about LASIK? You're not alone. That's why we created LASIK.com, one place where you can go to find every answer to every question on your mind. Like, how much does LASIK cost? How long does recovery take? How do I find a doctor? If you've been thinking about LASIK, go to LASIK.com now. Yeah, LASIK.com. Easy to remember, so you know where to start.
LASIK, LASIK.com.
Hey everyone, welcome to the Fantasy Bros Football Podcast. I'm Bobby Sylvester, joined as always by Mike Tagliere, and we're going to be talking DFS for this week's playoff matchups. We've got a great guest today. It's Joe Holka, and he is all over the place. First of all, you can follow him on Twitter at his name, Joe Holka. I'm at Bobby Fantasy Pro, and Tags is at Mike Tagliere NFL. Joe, how's it going?
Pretty good, guys. Thanks for having me. These are some of my favorite slates of the entire year, so hopefully you guys have been following along with playoff DFS, because I honestly like this time of the year is probably where the biggest edge might remain in NFL. So excited to talk with you guys.
Why would you say that is? Just you like the smaller slates, or because more people are playing who don't exactly know what's going on?
Yeah, so Tag knows this, but I feel like it's one of those slates where you can just make decisions as the slate goes on. I like to really build in late swap opportunities, and I think that's something that the field probably isn't doing enough of in these. If you're just approaching it like a normal slate, not to get too deep into it, I just think that you're definitely behind in terms of how you should be playing these. Totally different game, in my opinion.
Tags, what's going on, man?
Nothing much. I'm excited to talk to Joe, because like me, it's almost like I like the bigger slates, just because obviously there's some games that almost go overlooked in terms of like some bad teams that people don't want to play. But the late swap thing is one thing that I know myself I don't do enough of, where it's like I'm busy looking ahead to like next week while these games are going on. And sometimes I'll overlook that, but it's definitely a good point.
So Joe, guys, is the... He's the methodology creator of Rushing Expectations, but he's also, Joe, I saw you're nearing 10,000 on Instagram. That a baby? You're like way ahead of the curve on that platform.
That was the goal. Instagram's tough to grow, so you're always just kind of trying to figure out like creative ways to do contests and get the engagement up over there. You guys are doing a great job on Instagram too. Definitely been following along with you guys over there.
Thanks, man. Yeah, we've got, we're at our same handles as we have on Twitter, at Bobby Fantasy Pro, at Mike Tagliere NFL. And Joe, if you hit 10,000 followers on Instagram, you're going to do something for one of your followers, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I'm going to be basically running a contest where if I hit 10,000 followers is a big goal that I had, I'm going to actually be free rolling one person 150 lineups into the showdown slate for the Super Bowl.
What?
So yeah, it's I had to like raise the stakes a little bit. Like, that's how hard it is on Instagram these days. So yeah, all the details are just my pinned tweet on Twitter. There's a bunch of ways you can get entries into this drawing, so just check that out over there if you guys are interested in getting 150 lineup free roll. Is that good? I don't know.
Dang, man. Yeah, that's pretty dang good. I saw one free roll, and I just read it wrong. 150, that's ridiculous. Hey, by the way, so we're going to be talking about some spreads on today's show, but if you want to get really deep into that stuff, we have another podcast for it. You can find it at bettingpros.com/podcast, and it's hosted by our guy, Dan Harris, who does the Sunday night recaps with Tags. You guys know Dan. He's super sarcastic. He's really accurate. He was top 10 in accuracy this year, and he's always a lot of fun. He's hosting that show, and we're going to have our best NFL divisional round bets plus favorite props episode available by Friday. Again, you can check that out at bettingpros.com/podcast. So here's the plan, guys, okay? We're going to be talking DFS. This is for FanDuel and DraftKings. And so we've got the four games for the playoffs this weekend. FanDuel splits it up into two main slates, the Saturday games and the Sunday games. We'll just talk about all the players, and we're going to go one game at a time and start with the Saturday afternoon game, Vikings 49ers. So first, the same way we did last week, I just want to ask you straight up, Joe, who's going to win this game? Is it the 49ers 7-point favorites?
Yeah, I'm kind of a little bit torn. Like, I've spent a little bit of time watching the Vikings this year and not really by choice. But I will say that I think that the biggest threat to Baltimore, in my opinion, was probably the Saints. And the Vikings just took them out last week. So I actually wouldn't mind seeing the Vikings continue to move on. I don't think there's a ton of really exciting teams left in the NFC. A lot of, I guess, data out there will tell you that the 49ers are pretty heavily favored to make the Super Bowl now. But I actually think that in terms of the betting markets, I think the Vikings are a really interesting pick this week. But who's going to win the game? That's a little bit tougher. But I'll go with the Vikings just because I would like to see them move on. I wouldn't mind seeing like a Vikings-Packers NFC championship. Yeah, I don't think that'd be too bad.
And Joe doesn't want to say this on the podcast, but his girlfriend is actually a cheerleader for the Vikings. Therefore, she gets to keep working and keep going on. And I wonder if Joe would get like a Super Bowl opportunity if that should arise.
That would be fun. I'm actually not a Vikings fan, though. Full disclosure, I'm a Cardinals fan. I'm from Arizona originally. So that definitely in my household causes a few arguments here and there. But hopefully the Vikings keep playing. And that'd be a lot of fun.
That's really fun. I actually picked the Vikings as well. Their defense has just been playing so great lately. The 49ers defense hasn't played as well. Tags, we know you picked the 49ers. We talked about it yesterday on the show. So let's just get into the game, okay? So we've got Jimmy Garoppolo and Kirk Cousins. I can't imagine really using either of these guys in this contest. It's the lowest over-under on the slate at 44. Joe, what do you think?
Yeah, so I guess overall, before we get started on these slates, like I very rarely play a quarterback in the first game. And I talked about how this is just so much different than a normal slate anyways. What I love typically is when all the chalk is in the first game. I don't think that's going to happen in this slate. So I don't think these guys are going to be very owned anyway. So it puts you in kind of a unique situation. I think that the best way to approach these slates is by typically having stacks in the third or fourth game to really help you kind of propel yourself and propel your lineups up the leaderboard and just grabbing pieces along the way, like smaller mini stacks or smaller value plays along the way. That's typically how I like to approach it. So I won't be on these quarterbacks heavily, just more from a game theory perspective. I could see maybe running out a couple smaller stacks, Jimmy G to Kittle, that sort of thing. But the way I'm going to be approaching this first game is going to be probably just to try and pick a few players that I think have games or slate breaking opportunities. So like if you miss on a guy that goes completely crazy, Derrick Henry in game two last week, it's really tough to get to the top of the leaderboard. So I'll be trying to hit along the way, but not really going all in on either of these stacks, I don't think.
I think that makes a lot of sense. So Tags, I would imagine, like almost everybody else, you'll be playing either Patrick Mahomes or Lamar Jackson in cash games. But can you see Jimmy G or Kirk Cousins as a viable GPP threat?
I mean, if I'm going to play either of them, it's going to be Garoppolo, because you got to think if the Vikings go up somehow, if they get up on the road, again, they're playing on 5 days rest. They're traveling across the country. Dalvin Cook off 31 touches. There's a lot of warning signs here with them. And now Adam Thielen, if you guys haven't heard, he had to have stitches on his ankle this week. He got a cut in practice. And now they're saying that he's like iffy for this game. And
what a season for Thielen. Wow.
Yeah. So, I mean, there's a lot of ifs, ands, or buts. But let's pretend that the Vikings do jump out to a lead for whatever reason, maybe a turnover, a pick six, a fumble recovery for a touchdown, a rushing touchdown for Dalvin Cook, whatever the case may be. They're not a team that's going to throw the ball a whole lot. Cousins hasn't thrown the ball more than 38 times all year. And knowing that there's been just two quarterbacks all year that have averaged more than 7.4 yards per attempt against the 49ers, they're a healthy team, getting Sherman back healthy. D Ford's going to play, maybe Quan Alexander. There's a lot of reasons that I don't like Cousins, because again, I don't know if there's a game script where I see him scoring a whole lot of points. And as for Garoppolo, he's the one that if you're going to play one of these guys in tournaments, it'd be him. He's $100 cheaper on DraftKings. And again, he does have Kittle, who's a matchup nightmare. Minnesota has been somewhat of a funnel defense. Their secondary is hurting a little bit too. Mackenzie Alexander is out for this game. Mike Hughes is out for this game. Xavier Rhodes is terrible and also hurt his collarbone last game. So, I mean, Garoppolo would be the one. But again, this is, even if you go on the 49ers side, do you think that they're going to keep throwing the ball if they're up a lot? Probably not. So I think there's a reason this game has the lowest total on the slate, and that's, I'm not attacking it.
Over at the running back position, we've got Raheem Mostert and Dalvin Cook, obviously. I mean, I guess you could use someone like Alexander Mattison or Matt Breida in a GPP lineup. I wouldn't recommend it. I think it's kind of a waste, but we've got Mostert and Cook. I don't really love either of them from a cash game standpoint, just because I don't feel great about the game script as much as I do in, you know, Kansas City and Baltimore. Joe, do you feel the same way about these two?
Yeah, the when I talked about kind of grabbing pieces along the way, I'd be shocked if I didn't end up with a couple teams taking some shots on Dalvin Cook. I'm definitely in line with Tags in terms of the quarterback situation. I think if there's one guy, it is definitely Jimmy G. I think he's got some pretty clear options you can pair with him. The problem is both these teams want to run. San Francisco is one of those teams that now, I mean, they have three backs that could potentially give the ball to, maybe even throw in a little bit of Kyle Juszczyk as well. That's a situation I'm definitely going to be light on, especially if Mostert. I think at his price, he's going to be relatively chalky on DraftKings. I'm going to try and find another way to get there, because like just burning a running back slot in this first game, I get the Mostert, I guess, love, just because, I mean, he's scored in, what, four or five straight games, which is kind of ridiculous. I'm still going to have some Dalvin Cooks. I do think the ceiling is there. But, yeah, there's a lot of ways that things can go wrong for both of these guys. So not sure they're really in cash games considerations. But the slate as a whole for running back just isn't that great. So I could see grabbing some shares along the way, but I won't be all in, that's for sure.
All right, guys, wide receiver tags. What do you think about this game?
I mean, wide receiver is a little rough because Diggs, I was looking through Diggs and Thielen, and I thought this was a better matchup for Thielen. He's been better against zone coverage defenses, and the 49ers are very zone heavy. Diggs is more of a man coverage guy where it's like he can beat his way through any man coverage. So it's going to be rough to see either of these guys. Now knowing that Thielen is a little dinged up, you're not going to play him in cash. So they're nothing more than tournament plays here.
I think Diggs is going to be really popular in cash games, but I don't think I'm going to be playing him, assuming that Thielen is either out or banged up.
One of the crazy things I saw when I like, again, I've been able to like research more and more stats now that things have slowed down a little bit, and Diggs, all six of his touchdowns have come on deep throws this year. They've all come on either a post route or a go route. And those are two routes that neither Richard Sherman or Akello Witherspoon have allowed a touchdown on this year. So they've defended the deep ball fairly well. They've been keeping the play in front of them. So I don't really like this game very much. Dalvin Cook would be the one, going back to the running backs, he would be the one I would consider. I think Dalvin Cook's a better cash game than he is tournament play. I don't know what the upside is here, I'm with Joe and Mostert. He's more of a tournament guy for me. I'm not playing him in cash. Over the last 4 weeks, his touches have been 12, 15, 11, 11. Touchdowns have masked that to the point where his fantasy totals look really good. And the price is what it's going to attract people to him. But in the end, Minnesota's run defense is not a team that typically allows production on limited touches, but I'd be more interested going over to the 49ers wide receivers with Emmanuel Sanders at 54, Debo Samuel at 52. I think they're both decent options. I think that I would probably prefer Sanders in cash, knowing he's been in situations like this before. Samuel, a rookie, a little bit more touchdown dependent in his production. So
yeah, I mean, look at his game log too. He has two receptions for 50, two for 41, one for 29, four for 31. That's just the last 6 weeks.
Yeah. Yeah. Joe, how do you feel about Emmanuel Sanders in cash? Like, if you want to put him in there as someone that should get a decent amount of targets against this defense that, again, it is easier to throw against the Vikings than it is to run the ball against them.
Yeah, I would have said that last week as well with Breeze. Like, everyone's basically all in on Breeze against Minnesota in this defense. So, yeah, it makes total sense to go to Sanders, go to Debo. I actually like Debo more. I guess think that this is a spot where I'm trying to grab ceiling in this first game. Ideally, if I am grabbing pieces, which I think that if people want to go to Diggs, he's 5,600. He's really cheap. He is the fourth highest weighted opportunity rating on the slate. That's, like, one of my favorite metrics at the wide receiver position. The problem is, like, I mean, I rely on you, Tags, for some of these like really in-depth stats. And what you just said scares me a little bit about what type of routes that Diggs likes to run. I think that Debo is my favorite wide receiver in this game by a pretty significant margin. I think I'd have more interest in this game overall in terms of the wide receiver options if we did have it in like game number three or game number four. But taking a shot on these guys in the first game could really burn you. So I'm not really that interested overall.
So over at tight end, I mean, I think this is a week to spend up. Even on DraftKings, I think I'm spending it up on either Kelce or Kittle because, I mean, I guess Mark Andrews could come close to them, but one of these two's got to be the top scorer on the slate, right?
I could see it. I do think that it does shape up to be a week where you could potentially even play two tight ends. I don't typically do that, but like as like these slates, I do like I attack them so differently than other slates. So I think different types of roster construction, I'm not sure if that's going to be totally unique to play Kittle and Kelce together. But I do think if you just look at them just from purely a data perspective, these guys basically look like wide receivers that are a little bit underpriced anyway. So I mentioned weighted opportunity before, like both of these guys like would be top five in the slate over the last four games, even if we include wide receivers. So yeah, I think both of these guys probably a little bit underpriced overall. Do we care about matchup in terms of Kittle? Probably not. Minnesota's number one in DVOA against tight ends, but I think they've given up a decent amount of yardage and production overall. So it's kind of a weird spot overall. Like, yeah, I think that Kittle's going to be really popular. Grabbing guys that can break the slate along the way, definitely think Kittle kind of fits that mold.
So last week we had eight defenses, and I think the dumbest defense to play was the Titans. But of course it worked out with the last second pick six, and they ended up being the number one defense on the slate. Should we just spread out our ownership all over the place because some random garbage is going to happen?
I think there's always an argument in that, but go ahead, Tex.
I just look at the defenses that, like, the quarterbacks that don't turn the ball over. Like, Aaron Rodgers does not turn the ball over. You go to Russell Wilson, he really does not turn the ball over. So avoiding the Packers and the Seahawks defenses kind of makes a lot of sense. You know, in tournaments, you're going to have to take some shots. And, you know, going with the Texans against Patrick Mahomes, who's that Brett Favre gunslinger type quarterback, that it, would it shock you if he threw a pick six? Absolutely not. And they're only 2K in a game that projects as a shootout. So weather can impact that one a little bit, too. So it's going to be kind of spread out for me. But the ones that I really am going to avoid, like pretty much as a whole, are going to be the Packers and the Seahawks.
Interesting. I was with you guys last week, like Tennessee, I had 0% Tennessee. They're just one of those teams that doesn't pressure a lot anyway. So anytime like those type of teams really score, it just really buries me. So Seattle, definitely I'm with you on that. I'll have no interest in Tennessee or Seattle this week. I actually do have a little bit of interest in Green Bay. Tags 2800. They're a team that pressures a ton over the last 4 weeks. I get a bunch of awesome pressure rate stuff from Sports Info Solutions. 42.9% pressure rate over the last 4 weeks.
And it's like all Za'Darius Smith because he's that good.
Exactly. And say what you want about Russell Wilson. Like, I get he doesn't throw interceptions, that sort of thing, but probably the worst offensive line remaining in terms of pressure rate, like allowed. They've allowed the most pressure over the last 4 weeks as well. And we know Russ will take sacks. So I actually do like Green Bay quite a bit. In the fourth game, like I said, I love having shares later on the slate. If I have a team that's like way behind, you can always make moves at that point. So I like Green Bay quite a bit. I do think that San Francisco is at least in play, but I'm a little bit worried about the pass attempts from Cousins, and like their pressure rates aren't anywhere near Kansas City, Green Bay, Baltimore. Those would be the ones I'm focusing on.
Also, Russell Wilson hasn't been doing anything. You have to go all the way back to week 9 to see a game that he played actually well.
That's true.
I don't know if he hasn't played well, just from a fantasy perspective.
Sure, yeah, that's what I mean. Just you know, piling up points. I mean, when's the last time that he had 3 touchdown passes? Week 9. When's the last time he threw for over 250 yards? I guess it did happen once since then. But 250 yards is not that hard to get in today's NFL, and he's only done it once since week 9.
Yeah, it's tough when you're throwing the ball like 28, 30 times a game. But, I mean, unless you're Ryan Tannehill.
Oh my God, if there's one guy that's just buried me consistently this year, it was Tannehill and Derrick Henry. Oh, Derrick Henry was the guy that probably cost me. If it wasn't for the week that Derrick Henry was 69, I think that was actually last time I chatted with you guys.
So basically, we need to just stop betting against the Titans, right?
If, I mean, that has not been great for me. These high efficiency situations are not great.
And you know, when you bet on them, it's just going to happen. You're going to be like, damn it.
Yeah. I think the last time I talked to you guys was the week that Derrick Henry was like 6,900. I did play him that week, thankfully. I think he went like 180 and 2 like he does.
You talked me into playing him that week, so thank you.
Yeah, I don't know. I definitely faded him more than I played him this year, that's for sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right, guys, we've got another contest to promote. This time, we're giving away a signed, full-sized Michael Thomas Saints helmet, and you can check out the details at bettingpros.com/contest. All you have to do to submit an entry, it's really quick. Check out our new podcast. It's the Betting Pros Podcast. Just leave a review on Apple Podcasts or Stitcher and send a screenshot of the review to contest@bettingpros.com. And of course, we're able to do this giveaway thanks to Pristine Auction. And if you guys haven't been on Pristine Auction yet, what are you waiting for? Go sign up. It's free to do so. Enter the registration code FANTASYPROS, all one word. It's going to give you $5 off, and it's going to tell them we're sending people their way. That way, we can keep doing these contests for you guys. At Pristine Auction, you're going to find some great values because they auction off hundreds, sometimes even thousands of items every single day. I just missed out on a signed Fran Tarkenton helmet. Pretty bummed about it, but you know what? I've got tomorrow, too. You're going to find some great values and something that you love for your cave, and everything is guaranteed authentic from only the most trusted sources. Check out pristineauction.com. That's P-R-I-S-T-I-N-E auction.com. All right, guys, let's go to the Saturday evening game. We've got Baltimore against Tennessee. Lamar Jackson is probably the play quarterback, right, Joe?
Yeah, I love Lamar. I've been playing Lamar all season, just getting that type of running back, typically volume almost. Just the rushing equity is just so high for a guy like this. So even at his price tag, I would be shocked if I didn't have at least a couple shares. Wish it wasn't the second game. The one thing that I guess you can say about Lamar is we have a pretty good idea of where the ball is going. Hollywood, Mark Andrews, those type of guys. So I think that single stacks with Lamar is something that I'll consider that I won't be considering with these other guys. So I think grabbing just like a single stack with Lamar and kind of moving on from there will be my approach. I don't always double stack Lamar just because he can totally just get there on the ground anyway.
Would you ever go naked Lamar?
I think you could. Yeah. So like I've heard some people talk about if you didn't want to go the Mahomes route, just playing Lamar and then really just trying to jam in some of the Kansas City guys anyway, just hoping that Lamar outscores Patrick Mahomes and you move ahead in those teams. So it's an interesting strategy. Just like I guess the main concern is if they get out way ahead and they end up just putting the ball in Mark Ingram's hands most of the game. I think there's definitely some volatility here.
Sure, but if they get out way ahead, it's because Lamar Jackson put up some touchdowns early, right? I mean, he could very well sneak into the end zone twice. And if you're naked, if you're going naked Lamar there, I don't imagine many people are going to do that.
We saw multiple games this year where he got like three quarters basically, and he still got there. It's just this type of player is just not. It's a complete outlier, right? You have to look at him as a totally different situation. I'm glad he's back on the slate. I definitely think that I'll have some of him this week. And cash games, I think he's like pretty close to a lock.
So, Tags, you going Lamar Jackson or Patrick Mahomes? And what do you think about Tannehill, at least for GPP?
Yeah, I'm going to go with Lamar Jackson cash.
Me too.
It doesn't make any sense to fade him at this point. If you, in tournaments, you don't want to be missing exposure to someone like Patrick Mahomes and Deshaun Watson. But in cash, I don't see how you pass on Lamar Jackson.
I mean, like in the playoffs, we talked about it last week. You need like instead of 2.5x, you need 2x. 2x for Lamar Jackson, 17 points. He's only missed that once all season.
He's getting 30. It's happening.
He's getting 30. He gets 30 every week, man.
Three games all year with below 60 rushing yards. Like, it's completely insane.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah, it's absolutely bonkers. So, okay, so you're going Lamar Jackson in cash games. In GPP, how much, say you set 100 lineups, Tags, and I don't know if you do that. If you set 100 lineups, how many of them are going to have Jackson in GPP?
I will probably have at least 40%.
Yeah, that's what I'm aiming for, that 40 to 60% range, just because I think that's about the likelihood that he's the number one quarterback on the slate. And if you don't have the number one quarterback in the slate, I'm sorry, you're not winning a big GPP prize. Joe, would you agree with that assessment, or are you going a little lower?
This might be like not a great strategy typically, but I kind of want to mash the field on Lamar. If he ends up being like 25%, I would rather be there and just have all the Patrick Mahomes, because the ability of being able to move at that point. So if I'm going into the morning games on Sunday and the game three, I want to have as much flexibility as possible at that point, because I have so much more information on how half the slate has gone. So I'm going to have a lot of Patrick Mahomes to start. If I miss along the way with some of these really good plays, or maybe I miss on a guy that's pretty heavily owned, that sort of thing, maybe you move from Mahomes at that point. So I think you give up more than you realize by playing a lot of Lamar, just because at that point, if you're buried, you're really not coming back, in my opinion. So I'm going to start with a ton of Mahomes and kind of go from there.
Okay, that makes plenty of sense to me. Let's go to the running backs in this game. We got Mark Ingram. Damian Williams is on fire. I'm definitely using Williams.
Real quick, is Ingram going to play? I don't know if he's going to play.
They haven't said much about this the entire week, which is frustrating.
No. Like, to know that he had a setback, I'm a little worried about it. Like, he's off the table in cash, obviously. And tournaments, I don't know. Honestly, this is part of the reason I like Lamar Jackson so much, and even in tournaments, is because,
like, if he's ruled out, are we definitely going Gus Edwards? Because I don't think we can, because it might be Justice Hill. We haven't seen Mark Ingram out.
I might have some of both of them, to be honest with you.
Well, I mean, I'm going to have both in GPP, but I'm saying in cash games, a lot of people, if Ingram was ruled out, would lock in Edwards. I don't know if that's exactly the right play. What do you think, Joe?
I think it's interesting. I think if you're running out like 150 teams, having a little bit of both, like Tag said, would make sense. I don't think either would really be in play for cash games. I guess you're going to need some savings. It's just hard with Damian Williams there at 6K. Like, I think he's the guy you lock in from a third game, I guess.
Yeah, I think Damian Williams is the guy you lock in from the entire slate and move on. He is just on fire lately. And I think the Kansas City is going to blow out Houston. Sorry if anyone's a Houston fan, but this Kansas City team, especially their defense, is just rolling right now.
What are you guys doing with Derrick Henry? That's the question, right? I think that I have not answered this correctly many times this year, so I think I'll let Tags start.
Yeah, I'm done fading Derrick Henry. So basically, on a slate like this, you need the players that are going to score the most points. And I don't think there's anybody that we could say is going to score more than Derrick Henry this year. And looking at the matchup against Baltimore, it sounds daunting because it's been over the last few years, but this year has been a little bit easier. I mean, the 4.42 yards per carry they allowed was the 10th most in football. They haven't allowed much through the air to running backs, which is fortunate because, well, I mean, Derrick Henry doesn't do anything through the air outside of maybe a screen pass here and there. But the only concern I have for him in cash games is that Ravens' opponents have averaged just 57.6 plays per game. That's a league low, and that's led to running backs averaging just 22 touches. But knowing that this team, I mean, this Titans team is going to ride or die by Henry. If they lose and they ride Henry, they're going to be okay with that because they know that he got them there and he's the reason that they're rolling right now. The Patriots knew exactly what they were going to be doing, and they couldn't stop it. So, I mean, Baltimore is a better run. I think they're a better run defense than New England has been this year. But at the same time, with the way Henry's playing, it's just impossible to fade him on a four-game slate. Looking at Damian Williams, I understand it. I know why you guys are talking about it. But it's been extremely frustrating with that Chiefs backfield to predict every single week. And knowing that they rested LeSean McCoy, maybe they've been resting him to give him a bigger playoff workload. I don't know. I don't think that's going to happen. I do like Damian Williams.
There's no way they're removing Damian Williams from the lineup with the way he's been playing, man. His last four starts, he's been the man.
It's like 2 weeks of solid production, and I mean, again, I do like him.
No. Week nine, he had 21 points. Week 10, he had 14. Week 16, he had 18. Week 17, he had 31. Besides that, he was hurt. He became their guy.
He was always their guy. He was just hurt throughout the year. I don't know. I'm just saying that Damian Williams, I don't think that he's like a stone cold lock where it's just like, oh my God, you cannot not miss this guy. I think Derrick Henry's that guy, but the fact is that you have to find the salary to pay for him, because I do want to pay for Lamar Jackson. And so if I'm paying $8,400 for Lamar Jackson, paying $8,200 for Derrick Henry, it's like all of a sudden we're...
So that means no Davante Adams for you, no DeAndre Hopkins, no Tyreek Hill.
That's exactly what it means. It's like, I could probably get a tight end in my lineup and that's fine, but I'm going to be looking for value wide receiver. Like guys like Emmanuel Sanders. So it is tougher. So I'm not going to lie, but it's extremely risky to go without Derrick Henry in your cash game lineups right now.
So again, same question for GPP. If you're building 100 lineups, you going 40% Derrick Henry, 80% Derrick Henry?
No, he's someone that I would actually have less than Lamar. He's someone that I might be. So he might be 30 to 40% guy, where it's like, there's where I will get some, because if he misses, the field is going to be heavily, heavily on Derrick Henry. So if he misses, if he has a bad game, it's going to open up possibilities for the other guys that you could play later. So yeah, I'm higher on Henry in cash just because it's hard to fade him in the slate, but in tournaments, I might be a little bit underweight.
You know, Joe, even when the Titans are behind, everyone talks about, well, what about the game script? He doesn't catch passes. Even when they're behind, he gets 19 touches every game. Are you trusting him in cash games?
It's so frustrating. Like, everything that I really like care about in terms of like volume and metrics, all of that, it's like red for these Tennessee guys based on their price basically every week. And they just like keep getting there on efficiency, which is frustrating. Last week, if it wasn't for like a ton of Taysom Hill FanDuel shares at tight end, I would have been completely buried last week because I was a little bit light on Derrick Henry. So I ended up pretty close to break even because of Taysom Hill. Shout out Taysom Hill, which feels like a massive win.
You could have let me know you were going to do that, man. I'm sure it was on Instagram and I just didn't see it, but I wish you would have told me to play Taysom Hill.
Yeah, I mean, him as a tight end on just like the grossest tight end slate ever last week made a lot of sense to me. But yeah, the Derrick Henry thing, it's just, I don't know. Like I said, like he's been on a couple of teams I've had that have done well this year, and I still just like find ways not to play him on other slates. But I'm with Tags. Like, there's not a safer role, or at least that we know. There's so much value in slates like this where we know exactly what a team's going to do. There's tons of teams that like we can't really even say that about even on this slate. So the problem with Derrick Henry is in the second game, and it really limits what you can do with your to be completely transparent, it limits what you can do with your Patrick Mahomes stacks a lot. So at that point, I'm probably going to be underweight again and just be like closing my eyes. Hopefully I have some shares along the way that I can make work on some stacks later in the slate. But that's how I'm approaching it.
That means Derrick Henry's going to go bananas.
Isn't it just the worst when you're like way up in the leaderboard and you're like, oh, I'm sitting pretty. And then Derrick Henry goes off for like 35 points and you have no shares. It is such a sad moment.
The problem last week is like, if you didn't have Derrick Henry, you weren't winning. But the problem for me is I had so many wide open teams on like Breeze and these games that I thought were going to be a lot higher scoring. If those guys don't get there, Derrick Henry with like a very secure role, like he's the guy you need. So like basically like if they don't get there late, you're in a lot of trouble. So yeah, if it's the same thing happens this week and Patrick Mahomes doesn't get there for me and I guess needed Derrick Henry again, like I'm just going to get punished.
So GPP, you said some shares of Edwards, some shares of Justice Hill. What about if Mark Ingram is healthy? How much exposure would you get to him?
I think he's interesting. I think I just have more interest overall in just the running back situation in KC. So I think I might have to be on the other side of Tags on that one, which I'm sure we'll get to.
Yeah, and by healthy, I mean active, because clearly Mark Ingram's not going to be healthy.
Yeah, he's too expensive like for any risk. Like $6,700 is stupid, and he doesn't even get very many touches anyway.
And he's $7,500 on FanDuel.
Yeah, I won't have any exposure to Ingram. I'll be okay with it.
All right, wide receivers for this Saturday evening game. Tags, why don't you start us?
I don't want anything to do with the Titans wide receivers if I could help it outside of tournaments. I mean, AJ Brown, 6K, they discounted him a little bit, but it's really tough for me to see him doing anything against this Ravens team. I mean,
well, don't you think the Titans are going to have to go from 22, 24 passes a game to play him from behind? They throw the ball 35 times. What's that mean for Brown?
Well, they could. That's the thing is, though, if Baltimore's opponents are averaging just 57 plays per game, and we know that Derrick Henry's getting 25 touches, that's happening. Like, no matter what, that's going to happen. It does limit the overall upside of this passing attack, which is why I don't even like Tannehill in tournaments. But A.J. Brown is someone that can get it done after the catch. And if let's say he gets with Marcus Peters, and Peters has these plays every now and then where he kind of just like, he just forgets that there's a deep part of the field that there's someone not covering, and players just run by him. A.J. Brown was one of the three players in the league this year that averaged over 20 yards per reception. He is a catch and run guy, so if he breaks a tackle, he can go to the house. So I will have some exposure to A.J. Brown in tournaments. Nobody else on that team I'm really excited about. While Marquise Brown at 4,400, I mean,
oh, he's $4,400.
Yeah, I know that he's been like, he's been not very good. I mean, the targets haven't been there. The yards haven't been there. You're looking for touchdowns. But if 4,400 is the number one wide receiver for Lamar Jackson, yeah, I'm going to have some Marquise Brown. And I've actually contemplated him in cash as like a money saving option.
He might not be very good, but he's also got five games on the season with 17 fantasy points. So like, you know, you've got a 35% chance at really striking gold here.
Yeah, you sacrifice floor, like you sacrifice a little bit of floor in order to gain some ceiling with him. So, I mean, Tennessee is better against the run, so it's possible that, you know, because he should probably see a lot of Adoree Jackson, but they haven't shadowed Marquise Brown. If he gets matched up with someone like Tremaine Brock, I believe that he's their number two cornerback, along with Logan Ryan as the slot corner. If he gets matched up with Tremaine Brock, Marquise Brown can beat him all day. And knowing that Brown has had a couple weeks to rest because he's been a guy that's been like dinged up with injuries, I don't know. I just feel like that he's someone that you can consider in cash games as a money-saving option.
Wow. Okay. Joe, what do you think about the wide receivers in this game?
Yeah, I think this price range is one that I'm kind of going to live in this weekend. So I do think that like Sammy Watkins at the same range, 4,300, is a guy that a lot of people will be like considering in that Marquise Brown range. I like both of those guys. I think that the price is like, we're going to need guys like this in order to play the tight ends we want to play in order to get some Lamar and Patrick Mahomes exposure. So I'm definitely on board with that. AJ Brown, tournament only for me. I definitely think I'll have at least one or two shares. And when I say that, I'm probably only going to play, I play kind of the smaller field, higher stakes stuff. So I'll probably have like 7 to 10 teams. I could imagine that I probably have at least one AJ Brown share. I'm a little bit scared for the same reasons as Tags, though, actually. So he's played 5 games this year against top 15 efficiency pass defenses. He only has 9 catches for 147 yards and 1 touchdown in those 5 games. So it makes me a little bit nervous. Like a lot of the data in terms of the efficiency stuff will lead you to say that maybe this price discount for AJ Brown, obviously failed a lot of people last week. Really tough matchup though. So I think that he's a slate breaker you could grab along the way, but it makes me really, really nervous to be overweight on this guy. So it's tough. I think I'm going to kind of skew towards in this game, definitely Marquise Brown for sure.
All right. And then over at tight end, Jonnu Smith, Mark Andrews. I think they're both decent plays for GPP. Obviously, I'm using Kelce or Kittle in cash games. Do you like either of these for cash games?
Probably not for cash. I do think that Mark Andrews is really interesting because I think people are going to see that Hollywood Brown, his price is so much more, I guess, easy to get to on DraftKings. So maybe it leads to a little bit less ownership for Mark Andrews.
And because so many people are going to be on Kelce and Kittle that Andrews is kind of be an oversight.
Absolutely. So I think if you're rolling out some Lamar teams, like I said, I'll probably be single stacking Lamar this week. I'll have some Hollywood. I'll have some Andrews as well. But in terms of cash games, really hard to get away from the top, I think.
What do you think, Tex?
I like Andrews quite a bit if you need to save a couple $100. I mean, Kittle's matchup is really tough against Minnesota. That is a tough matchup. I mean, I'm not going to doubt Kittle, and I'm not going to fault you for playing him.
But even then, he's only $600 more expensive than Andrews.
Right, and that's the thing. Like, that's why people are going to go up to him. But I think Andrews has been almost as good. Maybe not with the upside. Maybe he's not playing as many snaps, but it doesn't really matter. The Titans have allowed 12 of 16 tight ends this year to perform as top 15 options against them, including 5 tight ends to finish top 5. And knowing it's a 4-game slate, let's say that Mark Ingram is a little banged up. Even if he plays, he may not be receiving his normal workload. Maybe towards the goal line, they go towards Mark Andrews. And at 5,600... Again, in cash, it's going to be tough if I want to play Lamar Jackson and Derrick Henry. I might be squeezing pennies to get some wide receivers in there, and I might have to play Andrews and you know, lose that $600 to $800 that I would spend on Kittle or Kelce. I actually think Kelce is probably the top play if I can choose just one, but Andrews is not a bad substitute if you need to save some money. the only reason that you're worried about not playing or about playing Andrews is that you're maybe missing some upside, like the massive ceiling that you can get with Kelce or Kittle in those, like, you know, 15 target games that those guys can get from time to time. But in regards to floor, I mean, am I off on this, Joe? Do you think that Andrews' floor is relatively safe? It's just you'd rather play those other guys?
Oh, I mean, I like Andrews considerably more than going down tier. I think one thing that probably doesn't get talked about enough at tight end is just like really attacking these higher team totals. Like, it's a touchdown heavy position. Like, that's the reality. Like, these guys aren't going to get the volume that some of the other positions are going to get. So yeah, I think Johnny's fine at 3,400. I'm trying to find the salary. Like, Mark Andrews in 10 of his 14 full games this year, he's at 7+ targets. He's got 10 touchdowns. So like, I think at 5,600. He ends up being like a really nice value and a better matchup, better team total. I'm not really on Johnny. I get it if you want to save salary. At that point, I'm probably just going to wait and find the 600 for Hollister.
That's fair. All right. Defense, I like the Ravens better than anybody else this week. Now, granted, it's just going to depend on what I have in the rest of my lineup, and I want exposure to a lot of these teams, but I think the Ravens are probably the best play against Tennessee. I think you're taking Baltimore -9.5.
This is the one I didn't want to bet. Yeah, this is the one that I said that I was like, I don't feel comfortable with. I'll take Houston +10, but yeah, 9.5. It feels about right with the way Tennessee's been playing and, like, you know, coming off that big win. It's possible that Baltimore bites them in the butt that they rested their starters so much because Lamar Jackson hasn't seen a football field. It's 3 weeks.
Well, Lamar Jackson also has the flu right now.
Well, I think that was overblown. I don't think that he really actually does. We've heard things about Lamar Jackson in the past that have turned out to be just, I try not to buy into the narrative stuff. Like when it comes to sicknesses and like, cause if he's practicing and he's fine.
I don't think throwing up your guts is a narrative, man. I think it's just something to consider.
Has anybody seen Lamar Jackson throwing up?
I guess not. I mean, I suppose they could be lying.
Are we going to get a video like we got Joe Mixon walking out to the field like extremely slowly when he had like that whole sickness before the game?
Right, and running back to the locker room because he's got to go to the bathroom.
Yeah, if we get a video like that in the morning before this game, then maybe I would listen to it. I don't know. I'm not too worried about it.
You know, actually, I think that would make me more excited about playing because everybody would jump off of him.
It's true. I guess, have you guys made a ton of lineups yet? Roster construction, I think Baltimore is going to be really hard to get to. Like 4,800 on FanDuel, 36 on DraftKings. That's kind of has me leaning a little bit more heavy towards Green Bay and KC. But I mean, yeah, Baltimore's probably got the highest ceiling on the slate.
Yeah.
For me, it's just all about building those exposure limits. You know, where do I want the guys? And then letting the optimizer do the work. I trust it.
Guys, before we move on, one of the things that I love about my Apple Watch is how easy it makes my daily routine. I check it all the time when it comes to my fitness goals and whether I'm hitting my move goals now that the NFL season has slowed down a little bit. But here's something new that I love about my Apple Watch. It helps me take my personal trainer with me wherever I go. I use an app called Future that has changed the way I'm hitting my workout goals. I mean, who knew that your butt has muscles? I didn't know that before the past couple weeks. Corinne, my trainer, she has been working with me to get stronger in ways that I really didn't know were possible with the body that I do. I always worked on my upper body, but now I'm working my legs. I'm getting in better shape. I'm feeling better about myself. Future pairs you up with one of their world-class trainers, and coaches create your personalized workout plan tailored specifically to your schedule, your routine, your goals, and your progress. Your coach will check in with you daily to keep you on track, sending you texts, making adjustments to your routine, and following your progress logged into your Apple Watch. You don't have an Apple Watch? That's not a problem. When you sign up to train with Future, they send you everything you need, including an Apple Watch. Do not overpay for a trainer. Get the workouts you need to meet all your fitness goals and take your trainer with you wherever you go with Future. Sign up for Future today at tryfuture.com/fantasypros and get 50% off your first month. That's tryfuture.com/fantasypros for 50% off your first month. tryfuture.com/fantasypros.
All right, let's go to the Sunday afternoon game, and this is the one I tried to jump to a little bit early because I'm just so excited about Damian Williams. Now, what do we think about the quarterbacks in this game? Now, Joe, you already mentioned you're using a ton of Mahomes. Now, Tags, you're using Lamar Jackson, but how much exposure do you want to Mahomes in tournaments?
Oh, a lot. I mean, Mahomes is the guy that can break a slate. He's one of those guys, and so is Deshaun Watson. And so those are my three quarterbacks that I will have exposure to. Like, I mean,
Deshaun Watson's not breaking the slate against this Kansas City defense. I'm sorry.
I think it's possible he does. I mean, again, I went back and I watched that Week 6 game, and he destroyed that team. And I know, look, his finishing totals were 30 of 42 for 280 yards and a touchdown. He rushed for 42 yards and two touchdowns. The passing totals don't look great on paper, but Watson, again, There were four drop passes in that game, and all of them were for touchdowns. Again, all of them. There was a 10-yard pass. It was like an 8 to 10-yard pass to Hopkins, and then Fuller dropped three 28-plus-yard passes that would have been touchdowns. If Will Fuller's out, I'm a little bit more worried. But quarterbacks, like, they correlate with each other, right? Like, in terms of, like, if Mahomes is having a massive game, you know that Deshaun Watson's going to have a big game. It's going to happen. So it's like they correlate. Why don't we want to think about Watson, who is $800 cheaper on DraftKings? And again, I don't see Houston. They never run the ball a whole lot. Like, they can run the ball against Kansas City, and that's why Carlos Hyde isn't a terrible play. But I think it would be a mistake. I was avoiding Watson like the plague last week. I didn't want to play him at all in cash or tournaments. But this week, I'm going to have plenty of exposure in tournaments.
I don't understand. I mean, I know what you're saying, that it correlates with Mahomes and everything. But, like, if Watson was playing the Patriots or the Bills or the 49ers, would you play him? No, you wouldn't play him. But the Chiefs have been playing better defense than those teams.
I'm going to disagree, just because I think that the Chiefs' schedule has been a lot easier than some people think. And, like, I've actually been leading the charge and saying that the Chiefs' defense is better than people think. I've been saying that all year long, so I'm not saying they're...
I mean, last 2 months they played the Packers, the Vikings, the Titans, the Chargers, the Raiders, the Patriots, the Broncos, the Bears, and the Chargers. That's not an easy schedule, man. They've whooped them.
Here's the last few quarterbacks. Philip Rivers, been bad. Trubisky, well, bad. Drew Lock, not great. Tom Brady, bad. Week 13, Derek Carr, bad. So they have not played a good... Week 11, Rivers. Week 10, Tannehill. Tannehill's the last good quarterback they played, and that was in Week 10. And Tannehill, he posted 18.9 fantasy points. So, again, Deshaun Watson scored 27.4 fantasy points against them the last time they played. And that's with all those bad factors. And I know he rushed for two touchdowns, and that's obviously probably not going to happen again. But, Joe, am I off my rocker? Please tell me that I am not crazy.
You're using some Deshaun Watson too, aren't you, Joe?
I mean, here's the thing, guys. Like, I think all of this is very valid that we're talking about. But in terms of playoff slates, we're going to have a lot of Mahomes. And along the way, if we have some failures, we're going to pivot those teams to Deshaun Watson or Russell Wilson stacks. That's what we're going to do. If we're ahead, we're just going to play Mahomes stacks. Like, that's how I feel about it. Depending on how your team has gone throughout the first two games, that's how you make the decision. Like, I get all of this, but in terms of leverage and ownership and ceiling, that's all that really matters on these slates. So, like, I'm going to have a ton of Mahomes, and I'm either going to keep them or I'm going to move them to Deshaun Watson or Russell Wilson. That's my plan. That's the answers to the test from my perspective.
That makes a lot of sense. Hey, by the way, Texans have a really bad offensive line. Tags, I'm not letting you go on this one. They have a really bad offensive line. The Chiefs have 36 sacks since week 7, dude. Watson's going down like 5 or 6 times.
It's possible he gets sacked. I mean, how many times was he sacked last week? How many times should he have been sacked? A lot. Again, he did put up decent fantasy.
He should have been sacked to lose the game, but man, he got out of that one.
And again, as a 10-point underdog, that screams pass attempts and dropbacks for him. And that, I'm telling you, it's points. It's possible he's the highest scoring quarterback on the slate. I'm still saying it's Lamar Jackson, but
I'm going to have 0% GPP exposure. We'll see who wins money this week, Tags.
To Deshaun Watson?
0% Deshaun Watson.
You are high.
All right. I'm not betting against the Chiefs defense, so you do your thing, man. Let's go to the running backs. I already talked about Damian Williams because I was a little bit over-anxious there. Let's talk about Carlos Hyde. Any sense in using him? What do you think, Joe?
No, I don't really play those guys, but I think that's fine if you like really are in a salary pinch and you have to do some weird stuff to some teams that are dead. I don't play guys that don't catch any passes at all. That's hurt me a lot with guys like Derrick Henry, but I don't think that this is the type of situation I'd go to. Almost a double-digit favorite, low total in KC. Like, I get it, you can run on KC if that's one thing that you do want to do, 29th and terms of DVOA. I just, there's certain things that I tend to avoid in terms of situations. Like, I have no idea what Houston's going to do just because I think that their coaches are a bunch of donkeys anyway. At 5K, I get that there's some intrigue here. They are in the third game. So if I end up on Carlos Hyde, it's probably a late swap situation. So don't at me on Twitter if you see me with the team of Carlos Hyde. I can guarantee you I didn't start there.
You know, he's had like 20 plus touches 5 times. How many times has he reached 20 fantasy points? Never happened. It hasn't happened all season.
Yeah, that's crazy. I mean, I don't know if he needs to hit 20 in a 4-game slate, but the Chiefs did allow 206 yards per game to running backs this year. And we know that Duke Johnson doesn't get touches. So, I mean, the last time they played, Hyde did have 130 yards and a touchdown. So, I mean, if he does that, it hits plenty of, I mean, that's plenty of value at 5K. So I will have tournament exposure. 5K in cash, I mean, It's probably a little bit too much, but I don't think you should cross off Carlos Hyde is my point.
You guys want to talk about Duke Johnson or LeSean McCoy or just move on over to wide receivers?
No, LeSean McCoy. Damian Williams, though, I mean, you guys have obviously made your point on that one, and I have no issue with Damian Williams at all.
Yeah, you better not come at me again, dude. I'll find you on this podcast. Let's go wide receivers. Joe, you're first this time. Who do you like from this game?
I guess I'm going to see how many teams I can build with Tyreek Hill and go from there.
Yes.
I think that he's going to be on the majority of my teams. Like, in terms of like how they've been using him more in the slot this year, like, Houston's a team that is just pathetic in the short area of the field, 30th in terms of DVOA in the short area of the field. So I just don't think there's anyone on their team that can stick with Tyreek Hill. If they get the ball in his hands in open space, this massive total, I'd be shocked if Tyreek Hill wasn't a big part of it. Sammy Watkins for a little bit cheaper, just play them both together with your Mahomes stacks and kind of move on from there. I think those are the guys that I'll be the...
A lot of it cheaper, $4,300 for Watkins.
Like, he's in that same range that we were talking about with guys like Marquise Brown. Basically, that's that. If Marquise Brown fails and you have a bunch of probably less ceiling but safer floor, I would think, with Sammy Watkins, would you guys agree with that? I guess this total is really nice. I'll have a lot of Sammy Watkins.
Yeah. I like Tyreek Hill a lot on FanDuel. He's $500 cheaper than Davante Adams. I might even use him in cash games tags.
I have no issue with that.
What are you guys doing with the Houston side of the ball? That's where I'm more confused, I would say.
Well, I think you already know how I feel about the Houston side of the ball. I am smashing the under in this game at 51. No way, man. I'm not doing that.
I haven't put in my submission for the over-under, which if I were forced, I'd probably say the over, but I have Houston plus 10, though.
Well, when you got KC scoring 50, like, pretty easy to hit the over, I think.
yeah, for real.
Exactly. I mean, when Damian Williams is scoring like 50 fantasy points.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Tags, what are you doing with the wide receivers in this game?
Tyreek Hill. Tyreek Hill or bust.
Any Houston receivers? Do you want to use Hopkins?
I mean, yeah. I mean, if you're left without some Hopkins, it kind of makes no sense, right? I mean, the cornerback play has been...
But not for cash.
No, I wouldn't play him in cash. It's really... they.
But you don't have any money. You can't play any of these guys in cash. Like, you're going to have to play Kendrick Bourne, dude.
Yeah, I would choose both Tyreek Hill and Davante Adams over Hopkins in cash if, like, that were my choice. But he's not one of my locks. He's one of those guys that you don't want to be empty-handed in tournaments. That's all. Because DeAndre Hopkins is a guy that can see double-digit targets, especially if Will Fuller's out. These targets have to go somewhere. Have we received word on Fuller? Because, like, they said they expected him to play back on, like, Sunday. And I said, this is the stupidest thing I've ever heard, because he didn't play on Sunday. So, like, how are you going to say, oh, we're expecting him to play now? He's on track. And then all of a sudden they kind of backtracked and said, we'll see where things go by the time we get to Sunday.
He was limited on Wednesday. That's the last I heard.
Yeah, I don't really know if I want to trust Fuller. And if Fuller's out, honestly, that actually literally lowers my thought process on Deshaun Watson, because if you look at his splits with and without Fuller in the lineup, it's been like night and day. So that would make me move off quite a bit. So
are we going to have another huge Kiki QT playoff game?
Oh, I wish.
You remember last year?
I actually, once I found out that Fuller was out last week, and then Jordan Akins was out, I actually did throw in some exposure to Kiki QT in tournament lineups last week. It didn't work out, but whatever.
I have a question, Tags. So on the other side of this ball, like, Demarcus Robinson, Mecole Hardman, are these guys in play at all? They're 4K, 4,100. I want a guy I can add to, like I mentioned, like Lamar, I'm probably single stacking, but I'm going to have a ton of different combinations of Mahomes. Like, so you think Hardman's the play out of those two?
Hardman over Robinson for sure. Because, like, Robinson is a guy that's been on the field. It's just he doesn't get targeted. He's almost like Chris Conley was last year. Like, Conley was like a full-time player, but he just didn't score anything. Hardman is like, he's like Tyreek Hill light. I'm not kidding. Like, I've been going through like historical stats, and Mecole Hardman has been ridiculously good this year. And his role hasn't really grown. I don't know if it's Andy Reid saying like, we like him best in this role, but he's a guy that, like, legitimately he could take an 80-yard play to the house.
And the snaps make me so nervous.
Yeah, he's tournament only, though, obviously. Like, not very high exposure, but yeah.
My exposure walls on both these guys are 5 to 15%, so we'll see what the optimizer shoots out. But I'm getting at least 5% of both these guys. Tight end position, we already talked about Kelce a fair amount. Do you like him better than Kittle, Joe?
I do. I think that just the ability to, I guess, wait a little bit longer in game three, like I said, all the Mahomes, higher total than...
Well, plus the matchup. The matchup is night and day different.
Yeah, so like I guess so in terms of DVOA, Houston's kind of middle of the pack, but not like it really matters a ton with Kelce anyways. I just think that in the context of this slate, like, waiting around for Kelce for just 200 more is something that I would prefer.
Mm-hmm. Tags, which way are you going, Kelce or Kittle or Mark Andrews? You mentioned you like him quite a bit. And is this potentially the week where Darren Fells gives us his troll two-touchdown game?
Yeah, here's a fun fact. Darren Fells, did you know he was third in the NFL among tight ends in touchdowns this year?
Not surprised, man. They all came in like a 5-week chunk, too.
Must have been all the games I played Kenny Stills.
Yeah, right.
I don't feel the need to play him this week. No, I mean, if Akins is out, I would debate him in tournaments at 3,500. But Akins, I think, is slated to play. I don't know for sure yet. But Kelsey would be my...
And it's funny because Akins is better, but like Fells gets all the red zone targets.
Fells is the one that's on the field a little bit more because he's a better blocker. So that's why it's like he usually gets those opportunities because he's in line and then he kind of just sneaks out for that goal line touchdown. Whereas Akins is more of like a guy you can line up in the slot. But Kelsey is my number one tight end if you could afford him. Yeah, I would play him over Kittle. But again, if you need to save some cash, I have no issue going down to Andrews at 56.
And then for DST, obviously, I'm very excited about Kansas City with all the sacks, the horrible offensive line, the way their defense.
I'd play either of these defenses. I think both of them are good plays.
Yeah, I think that makes sense. Joe, any thoughts on the defense or just?
Yeah, KC, I'm with you. I'm more on your side, I think, in terms of KC at 3,200.
Eat it, Tags.
Like, I don't know. So massive home favorite. Like all, I mean, Deshaun Watson's the guy that I've been targeting basically the entire year in terms of a guy that takes sacks. So one thing that I will say too, KC was kind of middle of the pack on the season in terms of their pressure rate, but over the last four. They're second on the slate only to Green Bay in terms of their pressure rate. So I'm in on KC defense. I'll have a ton of them. Basically, if I don't have Mahomes, I'd be shocked if I didn't have KC on the other side.
All right, guys, let's go to the final game on the slate. Russell Wilson, Aaron Rodgers at Lambeau Field. This one is going to be a lot of fun. I've got the Packers winning it. Joe, who are you taking?
Yeah, I hate both these teams, if I'm being honest. I wish that like we didn't have either of these teams in the NFC Championship. I'll say that.
You hate them from a DFS perspective or a real-life perspective?
Basically both. I don't know. I'm probably going to be rooting for like no points scored in this game, to be completely transparent. So I guess I'll root for Green Bay just because I would like to go to Lambeau next week for the NFC Championship game. And I guess can't bring myself to root for Seattle as a Cardinals fan. So I'll be rooting for Green Bay. I guess I might as well just make Green Bay my pick. I think they win 3-0. How's that?
And Tags, I don't remember. I remember our guest yesterday, Justin Boone, is going with Seattle. Which one did you pick, Green Bay or Seattle?
I went Seattle. I think Seattle easy plus four, but because this is going to be a close game, but I'll take Seattle plus four, and I think it's possible that Seattle wins this game outright. It should be a good game, and I mentioned that I said that I believe close games come down to coaching, and I will take Pete Carroll over Matt LaFleur any day of the week.
You know whose defense is really overrated? The Seahawks defense. Their secondary is not very good. Aaron Rodgers could go bonkers at home this week.
Who's he throwing to, though? That's the problem. I mean,
all Davante Adams, man. 200 plus yards, buddy.
I mean, Adams can. I like Adams an awful lot. I would just rather play Adams and then stack him with Mahomes or and then go like Watson or.
Yeah, I'm not messing around. I'm single stacking Rodgers and Adams in a lot of lineups, like 20%.
Yeah, I don't think I'll have much Rodgers, if I'm being honest. I think that it makes me nervous that he's just not he's not willing to fit balls into tight windows, which I think, I mean, we saw what Jameis Winston did this year because he just doesn't care at all. The other side of the spectrum is Aaron Rodgers. Like, he's just going to throw the ball away, which is why I will have 0% Seattle defense, even on teams that are completely dead, just not interested in that. I like the Davante Adams call. I think if there's one guy in this game I could see myself having a lot of, it'd be Davante Adams and pivots where I don't think I can stay with Tyreek Hill. That would kind of be my plan. Because I think that, like, you'll say what you want about Rodgers. He's, like, only going to throw to guys he trusts. And there's, like, three people on the planet that Aaron Rodgers trusts. So I think Davante Adams is probably one of them.
You know, I also want to mention, though, the Packers have been up in a lot of games this year. When they've been down in close games, Philadelphia week 4, 53 pass attempts. Detroit in week 17, 55 pass attempts. That could happen this week. If Seattle's up, you know, one or two scores the whole game, we get 50 pass attempts from Rodgers. He could be the number one QB on the slate.
That's like what Joe was saying. If you're setting 100 lineups or something like that, I mean, I would have some exposure, maybe like 5%, maybe max at 10. Like, that's the most I would do with Rodgers.
We need to figure out a bet. We'll do it on Twitter, Tags. I'm taking Aaron Rodgers. You take Deshaun Watson this week.
Oh, deal. 100%.
I'll be on the Watson side for sure.
Oh, man. You guys. You dorks. I could see Wilson be the number one QB as well just because of his rushing ability, and who knows what happens there. Let's go running backs, though, because obviously we're playing Lamar Jackson or Patrick Mahomes. Aaron Jones is a very good play if you can afford him this week. Joe, how much exposure are you going to have?
He's expensive. I've struggled with Aaron Jones like the entire season. I guess it depends on what do we know anything about Jamal Williams? He's probable as of now, right? So I guess that would limit his touch ceiling a bit, right?
They were limiting his touches before even that injury. So I think this is Aaron Jones' show. And honestly, like, I think Aaron Jones is probably going to be the number one running back this week. It's just a matter of, like, do you want to pay for him and do you want to fade Henry, because you can't fit them both. That's what it comes down to. But if you were, like, put a gun to my head and said, who's going to score more PPR points this week, Derrick Henry or Aaron Jones, I'd probably say Aaron Jones.
So you have Aaron Jones over Dalvin then as well. So, like, I mean, I like the idea of leaving some slots open and just, like, having Aaron Jones. Like, if you have Aaron Jones in the flex, like, there's a lot you can do as the slate progresses. If you just bury yourself with a Dalvin Cook or Derrick Henry share that fails, like, you're in trouble. So I'm in on that. I haven't played much Aaron Jones this year, but I like that he's in the fourth game. You're making me feel at least a little bit better about his volume. And, like, I'm an Aaron Jones fan. Like, I do a lot of running back stuff throughout the offseason, and he's a guy that's just smashed my running back expectation methodology. So, yeah, I'm in on Aaron Jones. It's just a harder thing in DFS for me to do, but I might have to close my eyes this week.
I'm going to have a lot of exposure to Aaron Jones in the mid-first round next year, because I'm taking him. I'm taking him there. I think he's going to be a ADP high second-round pick. I'm not going to let him slip past me. Now, what do you guys think about Jamal Williams in GPP or Marshawn Lynch? And I know we're not using him in cash games, but in GPP tags, why don't you go on these two?
Lynch is the one I prefer in tournaments over Homer, just because he's going to get the goal line carries when it matters most. And is it possible for two touchdowns? Sure. I don't think I'm going to have either of them.
Like, well, Green Bay can't stop the run either. They've been a lot better lately.
Yeah, but Green Bay has been, like, really hit or miss. It's almost like they have to decide, do we want to stop the pass or do we want to stop the run? And, like, they've flipped their identity so much this year that it's really difficult to say with any certainty. And they're splitting the workload there in Seattle, so I don't think you need to attack it. As for Jamal Williams, if Aaron Jones remains healthy and doesn't fumble in this game, I don't see any way that Jamal Williams hits any sort of value. But if for whatever reason Aaron Jones fumbles early in the game and Jamal Williams all of a sudden gets 15 plus touches, it's not the worst idea in tournaments.
Even then, I don't think that they're taking Aaron Jones out if he fumbles. I think that was just a...
Matt LaFleur has been stupid, but whatever. But I will say, Aaron Jones, as I mentioned, Jamal Williams only missed one game, and Aaron Jones has totaled at least 22 touches in three of the last four games. So I do like Aaron Jones, and he, yeah, at 7,400, I like him a lot, especially in tournaments.
All right, wide receivers. I really like spending up on Davante Adams this week. I'd rather do that than spending up on Derrick Henry. Now, Tex, I know you disagree with me, but Joe, what do you think about using Adams in cash games?
I think it's probably tough to do in a roster construction standpoint for cash games, but I do think that he's one of the better wide receiver plays on the slate. In terms of his weighted opportunity, only A.J. Brown, higher weighted opportunity rating over the last four. I'd be in on Davante Adams. Like I said, I'll probably end up getting my shares through pivoting off of a little bit of Tyreek Hill, just since they're pretty similar price. It's really easy to make that pivot. 8,400 on FanDuel is a little bit tougher to swallow. So I think I still prefer Tyreek Hill, but I have no issues with Davante Adams.
You know, six of the last seven games, Davante Adams has 19 or more fantasy points. And again, there was that stat last year that was being floated around. If you take Adams' worst game and extrapolate it out to 16 games, he still would have been a wide receiver one last year. This dude is just so dang consistent, and he gets the overrated Seattle Seahawks secondary. So I love the play this week.
Yeah, Davante Adams. There have been eight wide receivers who have seen double-digit targets against the Seahawks this year. Every single one of them scored at least 14 PPR points, with six of eight wide receivers scoring 22 or more DK points. So Adams is someone that's, like, impossible to avoid. If you're playing cat...
Honestly, over under 12 targets this week, Tex.
I would say that's about, it's actually a good, I would set the over under probably to, like, 11. If I were, like, an odds maker, maybe like a 10 and a half or 11. And I'd probably take the over because, again, Rodgers, like, that's who he's going to this week. And Seattle doesn't shadow or anything like that. They play that zone heavy coverage. And the last time he played against Seattle last year, it was actually a similar defense. He saw 12 targets. He caught 10 of them for 166 yards.
I can't wait to see how many times Green Bay runs on first down and Davante Adams bails him out on third and eighth this week.
That's happening.
All right, so what do you think about the Seattle wide receivers, the main two at least, Metcalf or Lockett?
I like Lockett in terms of a leverage perspective. I think that in terms of his ceiling and where his ownership's going to be, he'll be a guy that you could pivot to on some dead teams. I like his price tag at 6,600, but, like, full disclosure, this is a guy that I just, like, haven't been able to quit this year. So, like, it hasn't gone well outside of that weird stretch in the middle of the season where he had a couple blow-up games. Outside of that, it hasn't been great.
Well, before he got hurt, he was great before he got hurt.
Yeah, I mean, and he had eight targets last week, so I still think that the volume is okay there. In terms of his price, like, I saw his price, and I raised my eyebrows a little bit, so I think that he'll be a decent guy that we can move to on some dead teams, but probably not starting there.
Any backup wide receivers that interest you in this one that you could see slipping into the end zone once or twice, Tex? I know you like Alan Lazard.
Lazard at 4,500 makes makes sense, dude, in tournaments. Like, 4,500. I mean, I know it's a very, 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 very small sample size, but he's seen 17 targets over the last two games. and he's been on the field for 75%+ of the snaps. He is the clear-cut number two wide receiver. Seattle's been really good at limiting the big play, but
and Rodgers loves him. You talk about trust. Rodgers loves this kid.
And that's what I'm saying is like in tournaments at 4,500, he kind of makes some sense.
Yeah, and then finally we get to tight end and DST. Anything you like from these two positions in this game, Joe?
So I think I kind of got cute for the year with all the Taysom Hill I played last week. So I think I'm just going to not play all these cute guys in this game at tight end, maybe.
Oh, you don't think Jimmy Graham's a lock for cash games?
3,300. I mean, I don't know. I've kind of like X him out mentally, I feel like, when I go through these. But I still would prefer 700 more for Hollister. I think on the other side, Green Bay is a team that you can attack it with their tight ends in terms of his routes run. I mean, there hasn't been a huge ceiling there in terms of Hollister, but no one's ran more routes over the last four games than him. He's 4K. So I do like Hollister a bit just because of the price. I don't think I'm going to get too cute with going down to like the Janus and like the Jimmy Grahams of the world this week.
Tex, you already talked about no on the Packers, no on the Seahawks defense. What about tight ends?
Hollister is someone that I would like in tournaments because people are going to gravitate towards Lockett, who dipped in price. People are going to want to play DK. I understand wanting to play DK, though. His matchup is better than Lockett's again this week, and he matches up extremely well with his secondary. So I could see going back to Metcalf. I really can, and I know they jacked up his price, and it really ticks me off because I had so much Metcalf last week. But Hollister is a pivot off both those guys isn't a bad play because a lot of people are going to pay up for tight ends and they're going to look and if they're going to play wide receivers, they're going to go to Metcalf to Lockett. So I think Hollister makes sense in tournaments. As for Graham, I mean, what's his upside really? I mean, is it 45 yards and a touchdown? Granted, on a four game slate, that could be fine, but he hasn't been fantasy relevant like in a long time.
Yep, you're right about that. Okay, guys, let's finish the show by going lock of the week. Joe, you get to go first. Tags, I'll let you go second this week. Don't take my guy though.
I think I was going to take your guy, so I'll actually...
No, it's okay. It's all yours. It's all yours, Joe. Go for it.
I think it's Damian Williams at 6K at running back. I think he's really hard to get away from in terms of his price. I'm not worried about LeSean McCoy at all. I think we just have a pretty decent sample of this guy being really effective in the passing game in the spot against Houston. I think that he's going to be the guy. If like the Mahomes stacks go completely wrong, I still think that Damian can get there at that price point with that total. Game three, which I love, I think he's really hard to get away from.
Tags, you can't pick Christian McCaffrey this week. Who are you going with?
No, I can't. Lamar Jackson.
I knew you were going to say that.
I will not have a cash game without him. Like, there's a lot of guys that are teetering. Like, Derrick Henry and Aaron Jones are guys that I'm kind of going back and forth on. I do want to get Davante Adams into my cash game lineups. And, you know, the tight ends, obviously, I want to get one of those top three. But Lamar Jackson is one I'm not budging.
I was going to go Damian Williams, obviously, but that just means I get to go Davante Adams now. So I'm going to go Adams. And I guess that means we don't have enough money to get Derrick Henry into our lineup. Sorry, Tags.
That means we don't have enough money for anything anymore.
Close your eyes.
Yeah. All right, guys, that's all for today's show. Hey, Joe, you're on TikTok, too. Can you tell our listeners? I think you've got something going on for them as well.
Yeah, just, again, trying to run as many contests as I can to get people on these different platforms. So TikTok's definitely one of those emerging ones that I've been focused on most recently. As soon as I hit 1K, I'm going to be giving away a $100 gift card to someone that's posted a comment on all of my videos. So easiest way to get there, TikTok.com/@JoeHolka. So pretty easy. Just use the app, though. The app's actually fantastic. You'll lose yourself in that app for hours. At least I have.
All right. And I want to say thanks to the sponsors of today's show, Future. You can sign up for Future today at tryfuture.com/fantasypros and get 50% off your first month. That's tryfuture.com/fantasypros for 50% off your first month. And also Pristine Auction. They're basically the sponsor of my home office because it's just filled with all their stuff. You guys can check out Pristine Auction and enter that registration code when you sign up for free. Fantasy Pros. It's going to get you $5 off. Again, that's Pristine Auction.com. And by the way, don't forget to check out our new podcast. It's the Betting Pros Podcast hosted by Dan Harris. You guys are going to love it. BettingPros.com/podcast. We've got our best NFL divisional round bets plus favorite props episode available Friday. And also, don't forget, Joe is on Instagram at Joe Holka and on Twitter at Joe Holka. Tag and I are on both Twitter and Instagram at Bobby Fantasy Pro and Mike Taglier NFL. For Joe Holka and Mike Taglier, I'm Bobby Sylvester. Thanks for listening and enjoy your football. I just wanted you to watch me dissolve.
Start kicking in the door. If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
There are some things that are too good to keep a secret. Like how your Amex Platinum card helps you have the perfect trip. I'd like to check into the Centurion Lounge. Or how it seems like you always get those hard-to-snag tables.
Ooh, yum.
And how you get the most out of select can't-miss events. With access to the Centurion Lounge, Resi Priority Notified, and Amex card member benefits at select events, you'll have to share. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Hey guys, you know what this playground could use? A wine country, huh?
A redwood forest would be cool.
Ski slopes!
Wait! Did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.